nobody can say no. What a blessing. Awesome. Awesome. We're so glad you're here today. You're in the right place. Amen?
Amen.
There's a million different things you could be doing. You could be sleeping. You could be doing sports. You could be doing all kinds of things. But you've chosen to be here today. And I believe God is going to honor your decision to come here today. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that God does not like to waste time. He is a very purposeful God. And so I believe that you are here for a reason, and God is going to speak to you. Amen? So with that in mind, and with that expectation in our hearts, let's bow our heads and pray together. Father God, we thank you that when you say yes, no one else can stop what you say yes to. We're thankful for that. I thank you for the joy of the Lord. I thank you for allowing us to dance and rejoice in church. I thank you that this is a place where we can smile and rejoice and look to you for the source of our joy. Thank you for young people in this house. Thank you for children that are being ministered to downstairs and in our nursery. May you bless them and the workers there. I thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts already here in this sanctuary. And I thank you for what you will continue to do in the next moment that we're together this morning. I ask, Lord, that you stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you don't, that's okay. We're going to put all the scriptures up on the screen. But if you'd like to have scripture in front of you, you can do that. We do, just to let you know, we have brand new Bibles in the back. If any of you prefer to have something physically in front of you, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will get you one of those Bibles. So there's a couple of people, anyone else. And if you do want one, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of 1 Thessalonians towards the end of the Bible, chapter 4. We're going to address that particular passage towards the end of our time here together. Amen? We are beginning a series this week that's going to continue for the next 3 weeks after it, and it's called The Champion of Heaven. We here at the church love to talk about champions, making champions for Christ, and we're going to talk about the champion of heaven. And today, because it's Easter and it's a special day, we're going to talk about the champion of heaven who overcame the grave. The champion who overcame the grave. This last Friday was Good Friday. Most people celebrate Good Friday as a time when we think about the death of the Lord Jesus. That's why it's called Good Friday. Everyone say Good Friday. Because it represents the death of Christ, and it's a good thing, even though it's death. I always thought it was strange that Jesus dying we would call good, right? But for us, who are believers, that is a good thing. And so there's all kinds of religious things and spiritual things that people do on Good Fridays to commemorate the day when the Lord Jesus Christ died. What I did on Good Friday was I spent the entire day in the emergency room at the hospital. Praise be to God. Now, it wasn't for me. It was for a close relative of mine. And we wanted to make sure that they were okay. And so we went to the emergency room. It was a serious enough symptom that we said, we've got to do this. It's Good Friday, but we're going to the emergency room. I mean, how long could it be, right? Anybody ever spend time in the emergency room?
Oh, yes.
I love going to the emergency room as a healthy person, right? You walk in and you just feel the diseases in the air. Any germaphobes in the house, praise God, right? You just got, and you hear people coughing over here and crying out loud, and you're just like, Lord Jesus, I want to be with my relative, but I'm kind of like sitting down, you know, and I don't want to really touch anybody. So that was my Good Friday, and we were there from right around 10 a.m. to almost 9:30 p.m.
Wow.
Praise the name of Jesus. It was fun. By God's grace, my family member is okay. But I was thinking about this weekend and what it represents, this Easter weekend and what it represents for us. If you think about it, whenever we are ill, we have something that happens to us. We get a pain somewhere in our chest or in our stomach. stomach or in our leg, something goes wrong, we call the hospital or we go to the emergency room because they want them to find out what is wrong with us. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But I had this thought. You know, we're talking about the title of today's message is The Champion of Heaven Who Overcame the Grave, Who Overcame Death. And I was thinking, here I am in a place, everyone that's here, my family was sending me messages asking me how the family member was doing, and I said, they're okay, we're just here in this room with 30 of our closest friends, because we're sharing germs, there's coughing, and there's all kinds of stuff, and you know, with family, you just share germs, right? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. But he overcame the grave. Jesus overcame death. And everybody in the ER was there. At the bottom line, the reason why they were there is because nobody wanted to die. Think about that. We go to the doctor if something's wrong because he doesn't want to fix the problem. We want to fix the pain. But at the end of the day, there's something in the back. I hope this is not a real problem. I hope this is not something serious, because ultimately we go to the doc so that we can get medicine, we can get whatever we need, so that ultimately we will not have to see the grave or death. And we take family members to the doctor and to the ER because we don't want them to experience death or the grave.
God bless you.
If any of you have lived in this planet long enough, you know the pain of having to put one of your loved ones in a grave.
The
finality of the grave. Pain of the grave. And we don't want to go to the grave. And we don't want our loved ones to go there either. My wife and I just recently went to do something that we haven't done before, which is we went to an attorney to get our wills made. We went to write a will for each one of us. A will is what you will to happen after you die. What do I want to happen with the $5.95 in my bank account? What do I want to happen to the place where I live? What do I want to happen to my car, my stuff? And there's something weird about thinking about and planning for when you're no longer here, isn't it? It's an interesting thing because we don't, and the attorney that was talking to us said, you know, most people don't do this. They don't say what their will is after they die. And what happens when you don't say explicitly and legally what you want to will when you die, if you don't say that, what happens is wonderful New York State gets to decide what they're going to do with your stuff and your things. And more painfully, and this one really hurt me, The question was, who would you want to take care of your children if you are both gone? That was difficult. Like, what? Wait. I don't want anybody to take care of my little ones. I'm their daddy. She's their mama. We want to take care. No. But this is a will. This is in the unfortunate event. If you're no longer here, who do you want to take care of your children? I didn't like that question. And we had to wrestle with that. Because we're trusting our children to someone else. We're trusting our things to someone else. You know that many people live their entire lives trying to get stuff for themselves. But ultimately, the Bible says that we are spirit. And when we die, our spirit spends eternity somewhere. And it's amazing to me. Not only are we not great at writing wills for our physical, earthly things once we die, but we're no longer thinking about and praying about what our longing is for our spirit, where our spirit is going to be after we die. It's not just who's going to take care of my kids, who's going to take care of my soul for eternity. We're talking about the champion of heaven who overcame the grave. A champion is an overcomer. A champion is someone that wins. Yesterday, Daniel and I were watching the Final Four, the second game, which we were hoping would be a great game of two basketball, really big programs ended up being a blowout. It's a terrible game. But they're all fighting to become champions, to become the best. So when we talk about a champion is undefeated, the Bible tells the story when the people of Israel went to fight a group called the Philistines. We're going to say that's a Philistines. That's your Bible word for the day, folks. All right, that's it. No more. They went to fight the Philistines, and among the Philistines, there was one who was taller than everyone else, stronger than anyone else, and he came out, and they called him the champion of the Philistines because nobody messed with him. His name, you've probably heard his name, was Goliath. And he came out a bad man with all of his armor. He was the champion because nobody could mess with him. And he stood there and said, "You Israelites, if there's anyone worth their salt, you're going to choose one champion for you, and we're going to duke it out." And him being a big guy and being strong, he was very confident. And the Bible tells, of course, the story. The Israelite champion was a little guy. He was young. Some say he might even be a teenager. Maybe early 20s, but probably a teenager. He was a little guy. He said, "I'll go fight him." And then I said, "What? You're going to do what?" No, because the king of Israel was afraid. All the soldiers were afraid. Everyone was afraid of Goliath. Nobody messed with Goliath because he was the champion. Nobody could overcome him. And of course, the Bible tells the story that this little guy grabbed some stones. He grabbed what he knew. You know that God wants us to fight with what we know, not what we don't know? He's going to use what you have, not what you don't have. He's not going to expect you to do something and become someone that you are not. You don't have to become me. You don't have to become a dancer, a singer, a pastor. You have to be who God's called you to be. God needs you. He needed David at that time to use what he knew, and David took the sling and struck down the giants, the Bible says. And then David became the champion. And everyone else ran because David overcame. Can the grave be overcome? Can we get a pill or a diet? Or can we exercise enough? Can we do the paleo diet? Or the Atkins diet? Or some of my family members are doing the keto diet. Praise God. I saw them eating bacon. This is a keto diet. Praise God. I'm like, "Mom, I like that one." Jesus overcame the grave. And those who follow him will triumph over the grave as well. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus overcame. He triumphed over. He became champion over even death and the grave. What you and I, what all the people in the ER feared, death, the finality of the grave, Jesus overcame it. And those who follow him will triumph over the grave as well. Amen? The story of Easter is a powerful story. The scripture says that there were some women walking around in the cemetery. You ever hang out at a cemetery? Now, there's some beautiful cemeteries here in Rochester. I'm not a big fan of walking around cemeteries. I'm very careful walking around cemeteries. Right? Yikes. Never know. Watched too many movies as a kid, right? I'll stop there. These women were specifically... they were walking around looking for a particular tomb. The tomb that they had seen someone they knew be buried in that tomb just a couple of days before. And so they were walking in this gravesite, and they found this tomb, and it was right in the early morning, maybe mid-light, but the sun was about to shine, but maybe a little bit dark still, just that moment. And the scripture says that an interesting thing happened. Some people appeared to these women as they were walking towards this tomb. It was the grave of a man named Jesus. Everyone say Jesus.
Jesus.
He had been killed just a few days before. And here's what happened. Have you ever been surprised by someone that you didn't expect to be there? You ever walked somewhere? My brothers and I, when we were young, we liked to get each other and scare each other. One time, my little brother, Losi, got into my house, and I knew he was coming. There was no one there. It was kind of dark for some reason. And he wasn't turning on lights. He just came up. And when he got into his room, I was hiding in the closet. He came in through here. And he was there. Like his bed was like the first row. And he was looking over his bed. He turned on the light. And all I did was I got out of the closet. And I just slipped. And so all I'm going to say is I'm going to just reverse this scene. If I'm my little brother, I'm me. Right behind me. Here's what happened when he saw me. He was like. He fell on his bed. And as I told the early service, because I'm a godly man and I'm merciful, I said, ah! When you get scared, you don't know what you're going to do, right? Like, ah! These women were walking in this tomb, looking for the tomb of Jesus, and then something happened. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, these angel figures said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Now that would have been a problem for them because they just saw him be crucified and be put in the grave. I presume that you've never been part of a funeral and of a grave burial where a few days later you saw the person that was buried. That would have been freaky, right? The young kids these days would have said that's some kind of zombie apocalypse thing, right? Walking dead thing. It would have been a scary thing. These guys say, he's not, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He has risen. Everyone say, he has risen.
He has risen.
Remember how he told you why he was still with you in Galilee. He overcame the grave. We believe he's alive. That's one of your first feelings there. He overcame the grave. We believe he's alive. Amen? He's alive. We believe that. This is the wonder of the Easter story. The resurrection of one who had been killed, crucified, went to his grave, but he was not there. Because the champion of heaven, because he's a champion, he doesn't just overcome Goliath, he doesn't just overcome something, he overcame the greatest thing that we all fear. Some people, I've heard people say, Pastor, I don't fear death. And then I'm with those same people when death is approaching them, and they say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. A champion is a person who has defeated or surpassed all rivals in competition. Here's what the scripture says about this Jesus. Think about this. It's in your notes. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. Death, everyone say death.
Death.
No longer has mastery over him. Wait a second. What are you talking about? No longer has mastery. No longer has power over him. That means that this Jesus somehow is stronger and overcame and more powerful than death itself. I mean, a doctor can try to fix me and help me, but did you know that doctors die too? They can help me get better, but when it's their time, if there's no medicine for them, they will die. But this is one who overcame death in the grave. At Heart and Soul, we believe that is, if a person is able to connect to the living God, be open and transparent in connecting with other people, and if someone realizes their gifts and begins to use those gifts to serve others and starts sharing the love of Christ with people, that person will become a champion. Everyone say champion.
Champion.
Say,
I can become
a champion for God.
Champion.
Say it one more time like you believe it.
I can become
a champion for God.
But
it starts by believing in the champion of heaven. Our connection with that champion allows us his championship reign to come over us. It all starts with him. The scripture says concerning Jesus in Hebrews 12:2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the what? The what? The champion who initiates, that means who starts, and perfects, that means continues it and allows it to become better, our faith. Jesus is a champion who starts and allows our faith to get stronger. Somebody says to me, Pastor, my faith is not strong. And I say to them, well, you need to get together with Jesus because Jesus is the champion who starts your faith and strengthens your faith. Because of the joy awaiting Jesus, him, he endured the cross. Disregarding its shame, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. this champion started and perfects your faith, and because of the joy that awaited him, there was a joy, and that joy, loved ones, the joy for Jesus was not just that he would be resurrected, but here's the deal. The joy for Jesus was that when he died, he took on himself all of your sin and your stuff and your diseases and your pain upon himself. And he saw that. He knew it would be tough. And even at one point in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to his father, he says, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me," because he was fully human in his humanity, let it be. He was going to take all of it upon himself. But it was a joy, the idea that men and women could be free, that we could connect with God, that we could have a relationship with God, even though I've messed up, even though I'm not a perfect person. Maybe I haven't treated my spouse the way I should have. Maybe I haven't treated my kids the way I should have. Maybe I have this addiction that I can't get over. But if I look up to heaven because of the joy that awaited Jesus on the cross, I can connect with him. Because of the joy when he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now, everyone say now, he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. He is seated in the heavens. There's a song that we sing all the time that says, "You alone are worthy of all praise forever. You alone," listen to this, "are seated on the throne of heaven." Picture that. Jesus is seated on the throne of heaven. How many know it's a pretty cool throne? I don't know what it looks like, but I know when I see it, I'm going to go, "Whoa! That is unbelievable. That's the coolest throne ever." Forget about Game of Thrones. This is the throne. Amen? The throne of the kingdom of God. The throne of Jesus. The champion of heaven endured the cross, and now he's seated in the place of honor. The disciple that hung out with Jesus said this about him. Do you know that when people get to know you, they spend a lot of time with you, they start seeing who you really are? I told the first service this, and some of you already heard this, but for the young people and those who aren't married, let me tell you a secret. The cool thing about before marriage is that you can go on dates and look good and put perfume on and everything's good. And you can hide your mess. But when you get married, after a little while of being married, I tell people this. This is my problem, okay? After a little while of being married, I have to start being myself again. And my beautiful bride has to see all of my stuff. The good, the bad, the ugly. When I'm happy, she sees me. When I'm upset, she sees me. When I'm hungry or hangry, she sees me. After a while, I just have to start being myself. I remember when I was one of my best friends in college, we took a trip. We were buddies, we'd work out together, we'd go play basketball. But one time, we had to take a trip from Oklahoma to Chicago. How many know that's a long way? Some of you have done more than that, but that was long. I've actually driven from here to Oklahoma. That's a long time. Anyway, but I was going to spend a lot of time with my close friend. He's still my closest friend. He was the best man in our wedding. So some of you probably saw him. But we had to stay a long time together. After a while, we just start getting on each other's nerves. Why are you going? I don't want to eat there. I want to eat there. Not McDonald's. It's Burger King. Everyone knows Burger King is better. I'm kidding. Everyone in my house disagrees with that. What I just said. So we eat a lot more McDonald's than Burger King. Hallelujah. But when you start getting to know each other, after a while, you start seeing the other person's imperfections. You start seeing who they are. In marriage, close friendship. Well, Peter was a close friend of Jesus. He saw him for 3 years, ate food with him, ministered with him, stayed in the same places with him and 12 others. The disciples that followed Jesus wherever he went, they hung out all the time. So Peter knew this Jesus. And here's what Peter said about Jesus. "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you," talking to the Romans and the Jewish people, "with the help of wicked men, put him to death." You put my friend to death, is what Peter's saying. My Lord to death. By nailing him to the cross. In case there was any confusion, he's talking about Jesus, amen? You put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But, don't say but. Thank God for the butts in the Bible, amen? But God. But God. I say, but God.
But God.
In every one of your story and every one of my story, there is always a but God if you will allow it to be. It never has to end the way that people think. If you will allow God to work in your life, there can be a but God. And here's what Peter's saying. You killed him. He was crucified. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Because, listen, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Impossible for death to keep its hold. Death could not hold him. He overcame the grave. He is alive. To overcome is to get the better of, to prevail. He prevailed against it. Any overcomers in the house today? Because if you're with Jesus, then his overcoming, his championship becomes yours. Amen? May we be a church full of overcomers. Jesus overcame the grave, and those who follow him will triumph over the grave as well. He overcame the grave. Next film. We can be free from fear. We can be free from fear. Here's what the scripture says, and specifically the fear of dying. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55. Then when our dying bodies, don't raise your hand, but don't raise your hand. Nobody raise your hand. How many of you know that you have a dying body? I just turned 40 this year. Praise God. I know. Whatever you're thinking, I know. Okay? But it's different than when I was turning 30 or 20. Praise the Lord. Amen? When our dying bodies, that means that our bodies aren't getting younger. We're not Benjamin Buttons. We have dying bodies. When our dying bodies have been transformed, say transformed.
Transform.
This is the hope of the gospel. And here's the deal. If you die or someone close to you dies, here's what you need to do. You're either going to believe what the Bible says or not. I have chosen to believe what this book says. But Buddha says this. But Muhammad says this. But my daddy said this. But my buddy says this. I'm going to put my eternity, I'm going to take that responsibility, I'm going to put it on the shoulders of Jesus. I'm going to trust what he says over what anyone else says, because he is alive. There was a Muslim man who came to Jesus, and somebody asked him and said, hey, why did you choose Christianity? Why are you now a Christian? He said, well, it's like this. I came to a fork in the road, and in this road, there was a dead man, and in this road, there was a man who was alive. I chose the road with a living man, because Jesus is alive. Amen? The tomb could not bear. When our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, when our bodies are transformed into bodies that will never die,
that sounds kind of cool.
God, what kind of body will you give me that will never die? Right? This scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us. Everyone say, he gives me. The victory over death.
The victory over death.
Through Jesus. You want to have victory over death? It's through Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. He overcame the grave, and those who follow him will triumph over the grave as well. He overcame the grave. We believe he's alive. He overcame the grave. We will be free from fear. And he overcame the grave. We will be with him forever. We will be with him forever. Let me read this very quickly. I don't know if you can get the scripture, Jason. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 18. If you can, that's great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 18 says this. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed. I don't know about you, but I don't like being uninformed. Amen? Sometimes people die because they're uninformed. I don't want to be uninformed. We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. That means those who die. So that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, who have died in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, how many are still alive in the house? Amen. Bonnie's like, yeah. Absolutely. How many are still alive in the house? Come on. Let me see those hands. Yeah. Praise God. We who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not proceed. That means we will not come before those who have died. Those who are alive will stay behind those who have died. There's a caveat here. Listen. Certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in who?
Christ.
Well, Pastor, do you believe that we have to become followers of Jesus? Well, I don't know what you believe, but I want to be one of those who is raised with Jesus. And the scripture says it's those who are dead in Christ, who put their faith in Christ. Not the faith of my mama or my daddy, not the faith of the people around me. My faith, what I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's alive. I believe I can be free from fear. I believe I will be with him forever. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is at the end of time. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I want to show a video that powerfully, I think, summarizes what Easter is all about. And then I'm going to pray with you. I know I have a few films to do. I'm going to finish those right after the video. And then we'll pray and be finished. Let's watch this, and I'll come back.
Because Jesus overcame the grave. Do you have the assurance that when he returns, you will be with him? Here's the three things. These are the last three things. Believe that he is risen. today. Just choose us. I believe. I open up my heart to have faith. Believe he has risen. The next one is receive his resurrecting power. Because those who believe in him, when we die, we get to be caught up with Jesus first before the living, according to what we just read. Or when Jesus comes back, we get to be with him for eternity. Our soul is eternal. Don't fail to make a spiritual will for your soul. Make a deal, not with the attorney, but with Jesus the Christ, and says, Lord, I want to be with you when I go. Believe he has risen, receive his resurrecting power, and finally, become part of his family. The Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. Whether it's this church or a church that you find as a home, here's the deal. As followers of Jesus, I need, you may need, but I need other people around me who also have believed and who has also received and who are walking locked arms with me in my pains, in my joys, in my sorrows, in my struggles with addictions, in my struggles with my family. I need someone to walk with me on this journey with Jesus. Amen? We become champions believing in him, but we also have to become part of a body that helps us to stand up when we want to fall. Believe, receive, and become part of his family. Let's pray.